Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a kite. Hello, friends, and welcome back to Destructive Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball rewatch podcast this month. I'm your host, Tyler, and joining me for the discourse on this episode is Dave.
Hello, hello.
Aaron.
Hello, hello.
And Jason.
Halloween.
Ooh, spooky.
I love it. I miss that band.
Halloween?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I kind of spoiled it at the top there, but because Halloween is approaching and this is the spookiest month, we have decided to watch the spookiest Dragon Ball movie, which is Dragon Ball Movie 2. Sleeping Princess in Devil's Castle.
Or, if you're going by the Japanese title, Sleeping Princess in Devil's Castle.
I thought it was listed as Dragon Ball Movie 3 on Funimation.
Yeah, for some reason on Funimation it is listed as 3, but this is the second Dragon Ball movie that ever came out.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why Path to Power is listed as 2, because it was made after GT, I think.
Oh.
If I'm remembering correctly.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It's like a weird remake of the first arc of Dragon Ball, but in the GT art style. It's
yeah,
very
I was
going to
say, these events are like, didn't these happen in Dragon Ball?
Yes. Okay. And with this movie as well, at least partially, some of these events happened in Dragon Ball. And this is an alternate retelling of Goku and Krillin starting their training with Master Roshi.
Yeah.
Their friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And fun fact. This premiered at the Toei Cartoon Festival in 1987, along with three other movies. Saint Seiya the movie, as well as a Super Sentai movie for Masked Man, and another Super Sentai movie for the Chojinki Metalder series.
Now, only one of these is a cartoon. I guess Saint Seiya is also a cartoon.
Yeah. Oh, Chojinki Metalder, that's VR Troopers for you American teens out there who know what that is.
Heathens.
Who have heard of that.
Who have heard of that. Hey, listen, we are VR Troopers.
At this point, yeah.
I didn't prepare any opening banter. Does anybody have any?
Something to do with spookiness?
Spookiness, scariness.
I guess I could, say it now rather than later, but something that I wanted to bring up that I found strange when rewatching this is that this movie and also the first Dragon Ball movie, which is called Curse of the Blood Rubies, both prominently feature big castles and gems, which is not a typical plot point in Dragon Ball, unless I guess you consider the Dragon Balls themselves to be gems.
They're like a very polished spherical gem.
Mm-hmm.
Korin's Tower is kind of like a castle.
Yeah.
It just struck me as odd that both the first two movies for this franchise, what they thought it was missing, this martial arts adventure, was like some Romancing the Stone style adventures.
Why not?
I guess so.
We just really wanted like a Lupin Castle of Cagliostro kind of adventure.
Some like heist movie style antics.
There's quite a few weird little influences in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And we have all these martial arts, but what's the point? Why do the martial arts if not for a giant gemerald?
Some sort of material gain.
What's my motivation?
Right.
What are Tyler, what are some of your favorite gemeralds in fiction?
Well, I love the crystal gems.
I love them too.
Yeah.
They're probably my favorite gemeralds.
That was an alternate team name for the Crystal Gems, the Gemeralds. Mm-hmm.
I will choose to be all indie. I will choose the Power Stones from Power Stone.
Oh, man.
Ooh, nice.
The titular. Mm-hmm. I've always been a fan of the Chaos Gemeralds.
Oh, I love the Chaos Gemeralds.
Oh yeah, Obama was into those, right?
Yeah, you get all of them, you can turn into Superb Sonic.
I think the amulet from The Secret of Nim is my favorite gem.
That's a classic.
Mm-hmm. Looked like you could eat it.
This is completely unrelated, except that it also features a gem of some kind, but I recently watched The Dark Crystal for the first time.
Oh my it's God. In the title! Ooh. Hey.
That's a weird movie.
That is a very strange movie.
And like I don't think I would count it among my favorite Gemeralds.
Mm-hmm. That's independent of the quality of the movie.
Yeah.
The Gemerald itself.
Right.
You know, not
very.
Not S tier.
Compelling.
I saw this movie for the first time ever, which is wild. The Elvira movie.
Oh my God.
And she's got a Gemerald on the on a ruby ring that comes in handy at the third act.
I got a kind of obscure Gemerald that I wonder if anybody listening will remember. I gotta go with the Sunstones from Thanatopia. The ancient archaeotech of the long forgotten, technologically ascendant Thanatopian civilization. Thanatopia got weird, you guys.
Yeah.
Wait,
it kind of started that way.
James Gurney's Thanatopia?
Yep. And this wasn't even like the chapter books that were written by 50 other authors. No, this is just James Gurney. It was a king who was half human, half triceratops. They strapped the Gemeralds into dinosaur-shaped mechas, and none of this is exaggerated. It all happens.
I'm into it, though.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, let's say we discuss these Gemeralds.
If we have to.
Cinematic Gemerald.
Inside the Devil's Castle.
Mm-hmm. This movie is a Gemerald to me.
I should say up front that we are still using Funimation now to watch this. I watched the dub. Jason, you watched both, you said?
I watched...
Dub and sub?
Yeah. So, I watched the sub. Well, okay, that's a lie. I watched the dub for all of maybe 10 minutes. Before switching over to the sub for the rest of it, because... The dub is terrible. It's very early Funimation, and it's not to my exacting standards.
Mm-hmm. It might be the earliest Funimation.
Honestly, yeah. Like, the actors for Bulma and Goku are completely different.
Mm-hmm.
There are some interesting plot choices that shift from the localization. So we'll keep track of that. I'll try doing it at the very least.
Also, it sounds like it's on VHS, which it probably is a transfer of.
Yep.
Kind of looks like it's on VHS, too.
Yeah.
Comforting sound. Cozy.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I did own this on VHS also, so I am very used to how it sounds.
Naturally.
Of course.
So I watched most of it in sub, but I did eventually flip back over and watch it again in the dub all the way through.
It was good to hear some lines of dialogue that to this day still pop up in my head every once in a while.
Oh, good.
But we will get to that. As always, we begin with waves and rocks.
Hell yeah.
But don't be confused, dear listener, because we're actually watching the Ralph Bakshi interpretation of The Lord of the Rings, apparently.
God. Yeah, this is a
very stark art style.
Yeah, this intro is concerning.
Red and black and graphic and, yeah, 70s.
And rotoscoped.
Yeah.
We get a narration telling us about a legend about a sleeping princess who is laying wait in a castle called the Devil's Hand, which is guarded by legions of the underworld.
All right.
You know, Dragon Ball stuff.
Yeah. Demons. Demons and devilry. That's Dragon Ball.
We don't know that it's space yet.
Mm-mm. Yeah, we don't know that Devils is actually just a separate world or planet or star.
I have to presume they came from the Makio star.
Mm-hmm. Where else could they come from, Tyler?
Using my future knowledge.
Come from hell.
Yeah, they could be Deborah's men.
Mm-hmm.
Lucifer, friend of Deborah.
Not a different name, it's just Lucifer. Which, yeah, that happens in this movie.
We cut over to Goku, who is after we have our opening number, which is just taken from the series itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some fascinating lyrics in that opening number that I was not familiar with.
Uh-huh.
One of the most formidable gambles in the world. and some of the most enjoyable drama in the world, the theme song proclaims.
I noted that as well.
Do you disagree?
No. Also, my first glimpse of old school Yamcha.
Uh-huh.
I love old school Yamcha.
Yes.
Pre-Scar Yamcha.
That's very good.
He's ready for adventure, this boy.
Mm-hmm. Ready Goku's... for a whole Maka Fushigi adventure.
Goku is fishing on the Nimbus.
As he does.
Remarkably normal-sized fish.
Yep.
That's the first non... That's the most un-Dragon Ball thing we've seen.
This fish fits in his hands.
Yeah, it's an outrage. Hashtag balance to Oolong.
He is headed to Roshi's Island, where the old master is predictably watching workout videos.
It's yeah, kind of remarkable how little Roshi has changed, it seems. It's impressive.
Uh-huh.
He stays true to form.
Yeah.
Goku manages to get his attention by screaming in his ear. And then they enjoy some lunch while Goku tries to convince Master Roshi to take him on as a martial arts student.
The animation in this movie is beautiful. Roshi opening that beer can, mm-hmm. meticulously rendered. And then he drinks beer out of a weirdly fancy glass. It's very weird.
He's obviously having Miller the champagne of beers. It says it on the can.
Makes it taste better.
Yeah.
And it's less filling.
It tastes great.
Mm-hmm.
A mysterious little bald boy is rowing his way up to the island.
Yay!
We know who it is.
Hey, Tyler, who is it?
It's Krillin.
He's so tiny.
He's a little
And he's got
baby.
Yajirobe's eyes.
Oh my god.
They barely fit on his face.
It's just constantly doing a side eye to one side or another.
It doesn't matter. Every way he looks, it's a side eye.
His eyes, especially when he's like doing his squinting skeptical face, are perfect commas. He's also done his research into his master's tastes. He came prepared.
He has.
First, he tries to make a very impressive entrance by flipping off of his boat. But he lands headfirst into the sand.
And gets completely stuck.
Because his head is half his body mass.
Yeah.
He cannot undo it.
Goku helps him out, and Krillin introduces himself and says that he has also come to take, or to have Roshi take him on as a student. And he one-ups Goku because he brought a gift.
Obviously some fine chocolates or wine, maybe.
And by that you mean pornography.
Yeah.
I think it's some of the most actually lewd pornography I've seen him have. Like, it looks like there are actually naked women in this, instead of just, like, ladies in bathing suits.
Krillin brought the good stuff. He doesn't skimp.
Oh, yeah, no, he shelled out. Doesn't leave anything to chance.
Roshi is appreciative of the gift, obviously, but...
Obviously.
Says that Goku did come first, so the only fair way to decide this is to give the boys a test.
Apparently this test is really hard and dire.
And not something that he's just thinking up on the fly.
Nope.
Roshi tells them about the legend of the princess who is locked up in the devil's hand, and he says that whoever can rescue the princess and bring her back to Roshi will pass the test.
Mm-hmm. Can I give you some Japanese dialogue differences?
Please.
Mm-hmm. He eventually does talk about the sleeping princess in said devil's castle, but... Leading up to that, he says, the first person to bring Roshi, quote-unquote, a peachy-peachy gal.
Oh, yes, you talked about this previously.
This, I've heard of this peachy-peachy gal.
Yeah.
This so-called peachy-peachy gal.
He wants a peachy-peachy girl, whatever that means.
If that is her real name.
If that is your real name, but not just any. And then he elaborates, I want this specific peachy peachy girl who has been sleeping for thousands of years in the devil's castle.
Like you do.
That much beauty sleep, she's gotta be gorgeous.
Oh man.
A knockout.
It's a value add.
Apparently, we know who this is when it cuts over to her, but a mysterious woman is also interested in finding this princess and has a map to the devil's hand.
Mm.
And in the Japanese, this woman remarks... on the stunning beauty of the princess. So perfect, it outshines even the goddesses.
Whoa.
Damn.
That's fighting words.
Mm-hmm.
Roshi tells Goku that he cannot use the Nimbus during this test because that would be an unfair advantage over Krillin. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true.
Who does not have a magic flying cloud.
Yeah. He's also not Goku, so
yeah,
that's also a problem. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
But we don't know what that means yet. We're still in Dragon Ball.
I mean, I kind of get the impression it's still a thing. Like, Goku is still, like, bonkers.
Compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Though, the two boys prepare to swim across the ocean, and both manage to do so.
Yeah.
So Krillin is no slouch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the Japanese, Roshi points to the west, or he points to the south, but says that they must journey to the west.
Naturally.
And then he corrects himself and he says, no, the west, I mean, obviously.
Obviously.
And big difference here is there's a point in which someone asks Roshi what the princess's name is.
Yeah.
And Roshi goes, Achoo! And Goku's like, well, Princess Achoo, I'm gonna save ya.
He's so dumb.
That Goku.
He doesn't have social cues.
Nope.
Silly Goku.
In the original Japanese, someone remarked to Roshi, how far west? And the sneezing animation isn't sneezing in Japanese, it's Roshi going, far!
Good.
Anyway, that's all I had.
I did appreciate when they started their race, the comedic timing of them, the slow motion of them jumping to start the foot race between one another. It's very like, adventure, youth. Then they give each other a look, and then suddenly Krillin trips Goku. So he can get a head start.
Just plants him into the ground. And like while they're looking at each other, there's like a slow like harp glissando going up and down.
It's like they're glimpsing one another across the room on the first date at high school and falling in love with one another. Mm-hmm. That is the exact energy being invoked.
Mm-hmm. There's like sparkle background.
Yeah,
there
rainbow
should be
background.
Cherry blossoms.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
We get some fun visual gags as they travel across the world on this global race.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite being Krillin running in a straight line and Goku having to go up and down hills. They're just like ridiculous Dr. Seuss hills.
Up and down the foreground hills.
These are like Sonic hills. There's one that just goes out of the frame.
Yeah.
Krillin also, is this where he knocks Goku down the canyon?
Yes. He chops down a rope bridge.
Yeah, and sends him plummeting into the chasm, and then he's like, haha, now I'm not gonna have to deal with you anymore. So, like, Krillin absolutely believes that he just straight murdered Goku right there.
Yes.
Krillin is what we like to call in the biz a little stinker.
Fun word for it.
A bad boy.
And that's what I love about
him. He's a bad teen.
He's a bad teen.
This is one of the aforementioned lines that still pops up in my head some days, and I just think about, which is Krillin saying, Vaya con Dios, monkey boy, as he falls into the ravine.
What in God's name?
It's really good.
It's something.
What's great is that, so Krillin cuts the rope bridge, and then as Goku's trying to still make his way across, Krillin cements his tradition by lobbing a rock at Goku's head.
And it works!
And it works.
It still works.
Oh my god.
To this day, it works.
And then we cut to him on a bus having a little bento lunch.
He goes from on a bus having a little bento lunch to riding atop a herd of buffalo.
Which he's taking a leisurely approach now that his opponent is dead.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty slick, it must be said.
No, you gotta give your muscles a rest so they have a chance to reform.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You gotta travel in style, is what you're saying.
Yes.
This is a bit of a tortoise in the hare style situation, though, because Goku catches up very easily.
Yeah.
And, in fact, runs faster than the stampede of buffaloes.
I thought the hare was on the moon.
Ah, you're right.
What?
Making mochi treats.
Mm-hmm. Bulma and Yamcha and all their friends arrive on Roshi's island looking for Goku.
What do they want him for?
They just want to see him. They miss him.
Just want to say hi.
That makes sense.
They missed their friend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's a good reason.
They had a fun adventure in Pilaf's castle together months ago.
I guess.
So they hear from Roshi what Goku is up to, and they also blast off for the Devil's Hand to go find him.
Yo, another sub-dub difference is here, folks. So basically, the Devil's Castle in Japanese is called Majinjo.
Oh my.
Roshi makes a stupid pun by trying to, like, he calls it Mahjong-jo. And then he eventually comes up with the lie that Goku, with this other kid, Krillin, went to an amusement park. And
what?
And I will just let you guys know that for a majority of the text, Bulma, Yamcha, Puar, and Oolong think that they are at an amusement park.
It's just extremely well themed.
Yeah, they just think that this is the haunted house of a part of an amusement park.
That honestly makes more sense.
It does. Mm-hmm. It helps quite a bit in their approach.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So Goku and Krillin arrive in Spooky Town.
Mm-hmm.
Spooky Town, USA.
Okay. A very lavishly painted Spooky Town.
Yeah. This hand reaching up out of the water.
Yeah, they see why this place got the name Devil's Hand, because it looks like a bunch of fingies.
Bunch of fingies, and they're all rising out of the mist.
Apparently somebody knows that they're already there, though, because he tells his servant Igor to send out the welcome party.
Literally Igor.
Not Igor.
And yeah. Yamcha and Bulma's plane arrives at the Devil's Hand, but is immediately intercepted by demons.
I like that when actually intercepting a plane, these demons just, like, hit it and, like, smack on the glass of the cockpit with their claws instead of doing any of the other crazy things that we see these demons have access to. There are no anti-aircraft guns, which is
a
genuine surprise to me.
Jump up and smack it with blunt force.
There's something on the wing of the plane!
It's demons!
It's demons!
Turns out it was demons.
The anti-aircraft stuff is with the actual welcome committee.
Yeah.
Krillin and Goku are creeping around inside the castle, and Krillin trips over a statue and immediately hops up and starts to wail on it in terror, which I found very funny.
Yes.
Krillin is getting mad freaked out by everything.
I like that his natural instinct was, in fact, to fight it, though.
Yeah, hop up and punch. Mm-hmm. They continue to skulk around inside the castle looking for the princess, but the statues appear to be watching them.
Ooh. Oh, no.
And when we say lavishly painted, like, this is what we're talking about. Like, the backgrounds are so good.
Yeah.
They put a lot of effort and detail into these, like, statuaries, like the moving eyes. The moving eyes aren't just, like, cells painted that you get, like, a Scooby-Doo where you can obviously tell the part of the bookcase that's gonna move. Like,
uh-huh.
It's the whole thing.
Yeah, there's, like, a layer of painted backgrounds beneath the masking of the eyes that shifts. It's very cool.
Oh. It's still a very beautiful looking movie, if not sounding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a layer of artwork in this layer.
Bulma wakes up separated from her friends and finds herself in a lavishly decorated room.
Lavishly decorated with this vintage antique, like, lacquered television set.
I like Vintique.
And yeah. She immediately encounters a Sailor Moon villain.
Mm-hmm. She is greeted by a very beautiful man.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful anime prince.
Who introduces himself as Count Lucifer.
Count Lucifer.
Just right on the nose.
Yeah. Now this is Dragon Ball Z.
So spooky.
I love him.
He's a lot.
You know, we've brought up in this podcast before that every Dragon Ball Z villain reflects a different aspect of Goku.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
villain reflects his hair.
Thank you.
He's got the little Mickey Mouse ears of Goku hair, except they're eerily symmetrical, where Goku's are charmingly asymmetrical.
Terrifying.
And he has beautiful, radiant red anime eyes.
Oh, yes.
Sharp cheekbones.
Blue skin.
Sure.
The bluest.
Blue skin, red eyes.
Bulma is into it.
Yes.
Absolutely. Hard eyes
Yamcha
all the way.
Who?
Yeah.
Literal hard eyes.
She appreciates spiky-haired men.
It's true.
He's got
true.
That widow's peak.
Consistent, consistent characterization, folks. This is how you do it.
This is the development of a type, I see. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's really why Yamcha and Bulma like really broke up, is because Yamcha went with like the bowl cut later on.
Not enough of a widow's peak.
Mm-hmm. Insufficient.
Not spiky enough.
Nope.
Too fluffy.
She asks if she can go see her friends, and Count Lucifer agrees to take her, and Igor shows the way, carrying a suspiciously large syringe.
A cartoonishly large needle.
It's upsetting. It's not good.
Goku and Krillin are still roaming the gorgeously illustrated halls of this castle, and they are greeted by an army of demon soldiers.
And we mean soldiers. Mm-hmm. An army of demon Rambo commandos.
They have guns, they have horns.
They are all covered in bandoliers.
Someone looked at, like, Ralph Bakshi's Lord of the Rings orc army and went, you know what this could use? A rocket launcher.
Lots of guns, yeah.
Oddly, though, this horn appears to just run back and forth in this room. Maybe it's a training drill or something.
At first I thought they were running from something, and like mm-hmm. we were going to meet the bigger fish any moment, but apparently not.
No, this is just what they do.
Just mm-hmm. getting warmed up.
They blow their horns and they run across the room.
It's mm-hmm. like stamping.
Goku gets in a fight with a big red demon, who does have a name, but it's never mentioned in the movie, at least not in the dub.
Oh, yeah, this guy's really cool, I wondered.
What's his name?
Is this the demon with the really cute swimsuit?
The big red one with the
like
giant
the bandolier with the straps to like a little skirted bottom. It's a super cute swimsuit design.
He's the one with like the big like ribbon around him.
And the giant
drumsticks.
I love
a demon in a ribbon.
His name is Gastel.
Which roughly translates to like the gas burner on the oven.
Okay.
Like specifically an oven that features gas burners.
This guy has so many cool motifs, and that is none of them.
Oh. Okay.
Well, he's got his little fireballs later.
It comes
I
from,
guess that's what they were going for.
Yeah, it comes from the word gas table.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, okay. That's cool. It doesn't address my issue at all.
The red demon, Gastel, tells Goku that the princess he's looking for isn't a person. Which is confusing information.
Oh my.
Krillin takes care of the mooks while Goku power poles this big guy. Mm-hmm. And there is a dumb little pink demon that keeps chewing on Goku's ankles while he's fighting.
I love this thing.
My favorite demon.
What I love about this demon is that it had never occurred to me that the bad guys could have their own poir.
Sure.
They have their own weird little sidekick creature. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of, I wish Poir was here so that they could fight. I would like to see what that looked like.
Once it looks safe and Goku is still preoccupied with his fight, Krillin ditches Goku to keep looking for the princess by himself, because he is still in it to win it.
Mm-hmm. Again, all very consistent.
Igor and Lucifer are guiding Bulma down a hallway to presumably where her friends are, and boy, they sure love to talk about her blood.
Yeah. Mm.
They keep bringing it up.
Yum a dum dum.
Can't keep a secret, these boys.
They lead Bulma to an antechamber, which is filled with other demons, who begin to laugh and cheer when they see her.
It's hilarious, whatever it is.
She gets tied to a chair so that her blood can be extracted for some kind of special ceremony.
Meanwhile, like, fucking, like, Dies Irae, like, choir music is blaring.
Bloodborne
it's like O Fortuna.
Bloodborne soundtrack intensifies.
Yeah.
Krillin is captured by a pterodactyl, and Goku somehow sees this from his fray and hops to the rescue on the Nimbus.
We see a lot of Goku being able to see super far in this. Is that like a thing from Dragon Ball?
I guess. Yeah, when Krillin arrived, he said he could barely hear him over his own chewing. So I guess he has very super hearing as well.
Okay.
Sure.
They don't just frame his face.
Get a lot of mileage out of that one, don't we?
It's a good one.
It is, yeah. It doesn't just frame the rest of our dialogue.
Good.
Goku saves Krillin from being dropped into the maw of a big monster in the water below.
It's like a giant Venus flytrap looking thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lurking in the swamp. It has to be emphasized that this place is massive. It's like it's like an entire valley.
It's a mountain range.
Exactly, like under the ground inside this temple or whatever. Actually, mm-hmm. It reminds me of what's inside Lookout later that we see.
Yeah.
In DBZ.
Goku tries to give Krillin a seat on the Nimbus, but Krillin falls right through it.
He is not pure of heart.
Betraying the nature of his heart. Too horny, this boy.
He took a look at that magazine. Yeah. Flipped through that gift on the way to the island.
That's what did it.
So he almost falls into the maw again.
They reuse those same frames of Goku saving Krillin, and I am here for it.
It's a very funny and efficient use of footage.
Mm-hmm. So Goku catches him again and then just gives him a ride on his back. Gastel hops on two balls of fire that he conjures to follow after the kids.
On his feet.
He just hops right onto them like hoverboards.
Yeah.
But he is devoured by the giant monster that almost ate Krillin twice.
Well.
Third time's the charm.
Yeah.
I love a good rule of three.
Mm-hmm. You gotta respect the classics.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, over at the ceremony, Bulma gets poked in the chest by a cotton ball, and it makes her laugh hysterically as Igor tries to sterilize her for whatever this ritual is.
God.
He says that we're obviously just going to take blood from wherever is closest to the heart. But at the same time, like, he's also, like, applying a cotton swab pad, like an alcohol swab, like, on her shirt.
To her clothing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable. Maybe he thinks that's her skin. Maybe that's how demon skin is.
Oolong, Puar, and Yamcha have snuck into the crowd of demons in some admittedly clever disguises for them.
For what?
So I guess Puar shapeshifted into a demon head, specifically?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yamcha is wearing, like, a mask.
It's interesting.
And Oolong just got big.
Yeah. Did he do it? Did it count, you think?
Well, we didn't see it, so it's hard to rule on.
Yeah, it's true.
Before Bulma gets her blood taken, Goku and Krillin come bursting into the chamber, interrupting everything.
Mm-hmm.
Also interrupting everything is Launch, who blasts in on her motor unicycle.
Launch!
It's bad Launch, and she's here to save the day.
I love Launch.
She has come to steal the sleeping princess, turns out to actually be a very big diamond.
Not actually a person after all.
It's the best Gemerald.
Just treasure.
In hindsight, what a fun and weird thing for Gas Table to say.
Yeah. Like, at the time, it sounded really fucked up and problematic. But yeah.
Like, somebody comes to rob your bank, and you say, the money's not even a person.
I mean, they probably get this a lot.
Yeah.
Because of the name of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Sleeping Princess. All that right. Makes sense.
I've got some sub-dub stuff for you.
Please, because the dub, I think, is wonderful.
Dub is fantastic. Launch says, Monster Mash, Graveyard Smash.
For no reason.
There is a reason, and it's not in the text. It's external to the text.
And the Japanese is, she does a pun, where she says, just call me Itadaki Launch.
What pun is this?
So normally when people in Japan sit down to eat, they say Itadakimasu.
Yes.
Like, it's time to eat, yamadumdum.
Mm-hmm.
But Launch is like, my name, just call me Itadaki Launch, because she's looking at that Gemerald like, yum yum.
I see.
How bold.
I feel like that makes about as much sense as Monster Mash Graveyard Smash.
Fair enough. It's an accurate translation spiritually, if not literally. Like,
in the context of the situation, neither line makes a ton of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Goku runs after this mysterious girl who has stolen the diamond, failing to realize that his friends are also in this room and in danger.
Mm-hmm.
He's real variable on his perception.
Mm-hmm. Oolong loses his transformation without realizing it, so he, Yamcha, and Puar end up getting captured. As Launch makes her escape on her motor unicycle, her nose is tickled by some of her hair in the breeze, and she sneezes herself back to Good Launch.
Good Launch doesn't know how to do sick burnouts.
Goku picks up the diamond, but Lucifer threatens Krillin's life, so Goku just turns the jewel over.
I mean, he's known him for more than 5 minutes, so he's his friend now.
Exactly.
They were enemies, and therefore are now friends.
5 minutes later.
Goku gets roughed up by some demon hordes, and then is also captured.
Oh no.
The demons resume their ritual, and Lucifer proclaims that in his new world order, there will be a monster on every cereal box.
Yeah!
Yeah!
I love this guy. I don't know what the fuck is going on with him, but I love him.
Every cereal is Boo Berries.
Oh my god.
No gods, no kings, only Fruit Brute.
Only Count Chocula.
Incredible.
Is it Yummy Mummy? There's a mummy one too.
Yeah,
isn't
Yummy
there?
Mummy.
Of course there is.
The monsters are using the light of the moon to reflect into the diamond.
Uh-oh.
Thus awakening the princess, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
By supercharging it with moon power.
Mm-hmm.
I forget, did they do anything with Momo's blood?
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
They just kind of forgot.
They mention a couple times that she is just going to provide refreshments for everyone.
Oh.
So I guess they were just going to drink it.
Yeah, classic monster stuff.
Yeah, but they didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of just gets dropped.
Integral to the ritual or anything.
No.
No.
It's traditional.
They just like blood.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to blame them.
Keeps you warm, circulates oxygen through your body. Who wouldn't like it?
Goku and his friends find themselves cemented into a wall.
They're stuck in carbonite.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, kind of. They got their heads poking out so they can do banter at each other.
Their heads and their hands so that they can emote, which is very... I appreciate the demons allowing them that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the audience's sake.
Yeah.
The demon server have a good sense for the theatrical, I imagine.
But they're not stuck here for long because Goku catches sight of the full moon.
Well.
Uh-oh.
And he's still got his tail, so that means it's time for monkey shenanigans.
Naturally.
The full moon is here.
He breaks the wall open in his great ape form and begins to chase all of his friends through the castle.
Also traditional.
Mm-hmm.
He picks up Launch and prepares to eat her. But Krillin and Yamcha hop on his tail to weaken him. Puar turns into a big pair of scissors and just cuts the tail off.
That was kind of amazing.
It really makes you question why the whole Vegeta saga took so long.
Sure.
If they had this experience.
This ace in the hole.
Haven't they done this several times in Dragon Ball?
This would be the second time this has happened.
Okay.
So the monkey shenanigans end just as soon as they'd started. Yep. Very abrupt.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm sure you're fine with.
Yeah, I'm good to get it out of the way.
We need an Uzaru section.
It's like the string section.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very good exchange between Bulma and Igor. This is the second line that I wrote down that I still think about every once in a while. which Bulma asks, "What is the master plan?" And Igor says, "It's the plan Master came up with."
It's a good answer.
Asked an answer.
So, there's something else that we have to talk about here in this whole seventh bit. Why is Oolong dressed as a North Korean soldier? What is going on with Oolong's outfit?
That's just how they meet him.
This is how he looks in Dragon Ball.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. That's just what he dresses like.
Okay. All right.
Couldn't tell you further than that.
No, I know that. Or I guess I don't know. Like, I've answered my question, but the result is that I lost knowledge. I know less than I did when I started.
You prefer the suspenders look of Z.
I mean,
is what you're saying.
I mean, I don't have any particular need for Oolong to look like anything or really be here at all. But
I was particularly taken aback by this look, which
yeah,
I guess I
the,
shouldn't have.
According to the
weird
Dragon Ball Wiki, originally he wore a Korean War era Chinese People's Liberation Army PLA uniform, though later he tended to dress in trousers and suspenders.
Okay.
No reason given, just he likes it.
All right.
Just his thing.
Nude Goku gets filled in on what has happened and what is currently going on.
One last thing here.
Uh-huh.
I want to appreciate the visual comic book sound effect when Puar transforms. Isn't this where that is?
Yes.
When Puar turns into scissors, we just get
yes.
BOM!
BOM!
up on the screen.
Goku realizes that he has lost his tail and has trouble standing and keeping balance now. And he freaks out a bit, but he gets over it pretty quick. Oh well.
Oh well.
He doesn't know about Saiyan pride yet.
Well. Not quite yet. Lucifer explains his master plan to Bulma, which is to use the supercharged diamond's power to fuel a cannon that can blow up the sun. Because the monsters like it when it's dark out.
This cannon...
yeah.
...is amazing.
This cannon also came from the Makio star.
It's bejeweled and elegant and delicate.
It looks alive.
It looks... Yeah. It's bejeweled and bebugged.
It does look like a bug.
It looks like a bug that is also bebugged.
Mm-hmm. Goku and Krillin work together to fight Lucifer while Yamcha rescues Bulma from Igor. Lucifer knows beams, which is not typical for Dragon Ball villains.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got the one, and they reuse the animation over and over. It's a nice enough looking beam.
Mm-hmm.
Red.
It's very hot.
Evil.
Yeah.
You don't want to get hit by it.
Crackling energy. As Lucifer takes aim at the sun, Goku fires a big old Kamehameha, which envelops most of the cannon and causes the chamber to begin to collapse.
It's time for the bigger beam.
Lucifer gets stuck hanging at the top of the pit where the cannon once stood, and it discharges as it falls down below and disintegrates him.
Well.
Bye, Lucifer.
I miss him already. I gotta say.
And now it is a beautiful sunny day, and the heroes all regroup after what happened.
Sure, some things that happened.
Oolong reminds Goku that you may have saved the day, but don't forget who supplied the pants.
Because Goku is now wearing Oolong's pants.
So as not to be nude.
You know, fair enough, Oolong. You have provided a service.
Goku, you are not allowed to save the day while nude. We've been over this.
Yeah.
And then an unknown man takes their picture.
Yeah, what happens
so
here?
In Japanese, there is no unknown man speaking.
Yeah.
They just kind it's of, like...
Definitely a dub
yeah.
inclusion.
Which
they
makes...
just kind of look at the camera and go, peace, and do peace signs.
But the addition doesn't explain anything, and it makes it weirder.
It does.
Yep. It's the opposite of what localization should do.
Yes.
So the heroes go, peace, and like a little snapshot is taken, and we zoom out, and it turns out that some of the devil's fingies got blown off, and now it looks like a peace sign.
Mm-hmm.
Even the okay. devil's hand is ready for a cute picture.
Yeah.
It's actually really good.
Goku and Krillin return to tell Roshi the bad news about the princess, but he mistakes Launch for the sleeping princess that they went to go get.
Yep.
So he accepts both boys as his students.
Well, which
happy
was also not
for everyone.
That was also mm-hmm. not the deal.
Nope.
He said that whoever what was the deal? I think it wasn't this, but now I don't remember what it
was. Whoever brought her back.
All right, I guess they.
So I guess because they worked together to do it.
Okay, I guess that counts as like a Zen lesson.
Yeah,
that's fine. I guess
that's acceptable. Yeah. Launch goes inside, but sneezes and comes out again with a gun.
Uh-oh. It's bad, Launch.
And she shoots Roshi in the head multiple times.
He's fine.
He's fine, though. It's funny.
I love bad Launch.
It's...
I want to be bad Launch. I want her spunk.
Be the bad Launch you wish to see in the world.
And then we get end credits, which is just the movie playing again, but smaller.
Yeah.
With romantic Ageruyo in the background.
Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts for Sleeping Princess in Devil's Castle?
This was a good movie.
It's pretty spooky.
It's fun.
It's spooky, but not scary. And it's fun.
It is fun.
It's spooky, but not ooky.
It's full of a lot of ideas I would love to use in a D&D game.
Yeah.
I want to
know. It does kind of have that feel to it.
Yeah. Like the, you know, the twist that the princess is not a princess, it's something else. Mm-hmm. I dig that. And a lot of the crazy weirdness inside the castle is like, this would be an awesome environment to adventure through. I also just want to note the funny moment when Bulma and Co. arrive at Roshi's Island, and he hears that someone is there, and he freaks out, and he hides the magazine behind his back, but it's pointing directly at Bulma. This action has made sure to show it to her as clearly as possible.
Mm-hmm. What a goober.
A truly loathsome creature. Which makes me sad, because I want him to be cool, but he's not. He's terrible.
Sadly. We have a unique opportunity presented to us now.
What's that?
Since this is the first time we've ever watched anything in Dragon Ball, we can figure out what Marin and Mark are up to as youngsters.
Oh my lord.
How old would they be, would you wager?
Goku is like 12 or 13, allegedly.
Yeah.
Despite being very short.
Yeah, he's just short for his age.
So I'd say roughly equivalent.
Okay.
Marin probably younger.
Yeah, Marin would be a little younger than... Well, How old is Marin? A little younger than Bulma.
Mm-hmm. I would say yeah. So she's probably just going on dates, doing teen stuff.
Like going on a quest, a mystical quest for unicorn octagons.
She had to attain her mastery of hunkos somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So the kind of thing doesn't just come without practice. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Marin and Mark almost dated, but he wasn't hunko enough?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
She needed him in a moment of need and on an adventure, and he, was busy on another date. It's fine if hunkos go on other dates, but not when there's a quest to be quested.
Not when the call goes out.
Was there like a hijinks of he was on a date with her, but he had booked another date for the same night at the same place, so he was like running over to the other table. Or to another cafe across the street, pretending to be going to the bathroom.
I'm envisioning, it's Dragon Ball, but you just replace Kid Goku with Kid Mark and Bulma with Marin. And they just go on just really shitty, lackluster adventures.
Marin would never.
There's a pig named Darjeeling and a transforming cat named Chamomile.
Chamomile's good. Darjeeling is also really good, damn it.
There's an awesome transforming good and bad lady named Dinner.
Jason, I don't know how you did it, but you somehow perfectly threaded the needle of naming a pig and a cat T names again.
I mean...
You could not swap the two.
The reality is that he's been...
Darjeeling is the perfect T name for a pig.
He's been training his entire life for this, Tyler. If he couldn't do it, no one on this planet
everything that led up to this moment.
I can't imagine a pig named Chamomile, but I can perfectly picture a pig named Darjeeling.
Which is, I think this is also a testament to Toriyama's naming skill. Somehow that energy is perfect.
They get attacked by the bandit thief Chamcha, but it's just a shitty kid at the mall.
Now this might be too high concept, but...
You have my attention.
Is Yamcha the first not Yamcha? Because he's actually not Jamcha, or whatever Jason said.
My brain just went like one of those cootie catchers, right? It just started folding in on itself.
And hang on, say this again, Tyler.
Mm-hmm. So there's another bandit apparently named Jamcha or something like that.
Yeah.
That Mark and Marin are having adventures with. And Yamcha is not him. So is Yamcha the first not Yamcha, but to Jamcha?
No.
Because he's not Jamcha.
So, no, Jamcha is the first not Yamcha, but Yamcha is the first...
So Yamcha is eternal.
Yamcha is... Well, Yamcha is always eternal.
Well, I think it partly hinges on who is older, who came first.
I assumed Jamcha would be older.
Yeah. Mm. In which case, Yamcha is... He is not the first not Yamcha, like, by definition. But he is the first not Jamcha. And if they look the same, then he is...
And
the,
by extension...
He is the first of many.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like all frogs are toads, but not... Mm-hmm. All not Jamchas are not Yamchas. But not all not Yamchas are not Jamchas.
There are only three things that are certain: death, taxes, and Yamcha.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, now I know what you mean about your brain, Jason. Like, I feel like I'm overheating trying to say that. I still don't know if I got it right.
I just imagine in Dragon World, there's like an equivalent to our world's vampire Keanu Reeves portrait. Like this ancient Yamcha that everybody else looks like.
The proto-Yamcha.
Yeah.
Jamcha the first. Our Jamcha is Jamcha the third.
This is like Vampire the Masquerade. The third generation Yamcha.
Yamchire the Masquerade.
He's still one of the most powerful entities on the planet, but only specifically in the vein of being Yamcha.
Mm-hmm.
So he is one of the most Yamcha beings that has ever existed, but that doesn't really get you much of anywhere.
Yamcha is a scale, it is a continuity.
Yeah.
So Jason, I feel like we've said the word Yamcha enough. Would you like to read the 4-star reading?
In the episode,
this SEO properly.
In the episode for this movie that doesn't really have Yamcha in it much.
No.
Not a ton of Yamcha. He is there.
Mm-hmm. I will give a shout out though. Yamcha does have some great fashion in this movie.
Mm.
Agreed.
He's got like a lovely white outfit. But okay. I do have a 4-star reading for y'all.
Please.
Four-star readings, of course, being the point at which we take various Dragon Ball characters and divine from their manga debut date a birthday that we can read their horoscope from. And I am surprised I never did this one before.
I love that you ritualistically explaining what the 4-star reading is, even though there are many elements of this show that we don't do that for. Like, I like that has just become part of it. It's
we
part
need
of
a
the
constant
tradition
in this universe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like Yamcha.
Like Yamcha. You mm-hmm. got it. You're on it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have never done a reading for Launch.
Wow.
Really? I mean, I guess that makes sense.
She
didn't
really
see
didn't
her
have that
yeah,
much
she appears so little in Z.
And,
I mean, we put her to great use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Outside of the canon.
But we never did 4-star readings for Hail Satan, so
right.
It didn't get us anywhere.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I feel like we talked about Launch an awful lot, but she was not heavily featured in the episodes.
And I figure, unless we eventually start covering original Dragon Ball episodes, we're not really going to get an opportunity for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's go for it while it's relevant. And this is not intentional. This cannot be intentional. But it is very funny. So Launch's manga debut date is May 28th, 1985.
Launch does not have a canonical birthday?
Nope.
Yeah. She's a Dragon Ball character, so I'm a little surprised.
Yeah.
It is surprising.
Anyway.
And even if she did, I don't care. The manga debut date is way funnier.
Well, that's how it is, so there's no need for reservations.
Because May 28th is Gemini.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is.
Oh, shit. She does have an actual canonical birth date.
Is it still Gemini? Because if it's not, then I hate Akira Toriyama now.
Yeah. I don't think it is. Hang on.
Well, now I want to know what...
It still is.
Yep.
It still is?
Good.
Yes! Yep. Her canonical birth date, to really just cement this is June 17th. So that's at the very end of Gemini.
At least it's still Gemini.
I can't yep. believe this.
Gemini.
I would have burned this podcast to the ground if it wasn't. I would have deleted the archive.
Yeah.
20 years of devoted Dragon Ball fandom all gone in an instant.
How dare you, sir?
I am wounded.
You had one job.
Well, now I can't take it anymore. What's the horoscope?
All right.
What's
all right.
the reading?
Launch. Good launch and bad launch. This is your reading. A subject of interest that you've been pursuing could bring up some buried emotions to the surface. You might want to retreat into your mind to try to make sense of it, although trying mm-hmm. to piece it out logically may not be the answer. Avoid emotional confrontations. Things might be said that should be left unsaid, and they'll be sure to leave a mark. In the evening, watch a movie full of special effects.
What's the line from the opening? The greatest drama you can see?
And if they think it's an amusement park, lots of great special effects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The stars do not fuck around.
Before I forget, I did want to mention, we didn't really touch on it, but on that antique TV in the room that Bulma woke up on, it was a classic like black and white monster movie that featured Igor mm-hmm. somehow.
Oh my god.
Igor was in the movie. So I guess he and Lucifer just shot home movies every once in a while.
Hey, you got something in that place full of greasy minions.
That's how else do you get on a cereal box?
Yeah, put them to use. You gotta get the word out.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening. I appreciate everyone who tunes into the show when episodes are released.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, what would you like the fans to know?
I mean, you all know how it is by now. I'm a Scythe, P-S-Y-T-H-E, on Archive of Our Own. I write fan fiction sometimes, maybe. Maybe when this goddamn pandemic is over, I'll have the mental energy to actually write things again. I don't know.
Hey.
It is overwhelming.
Yeah.
No one would disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Not a soul would blame you.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, how about you?
Well, I used to do improv comedy, but not anymore because of the pandemic.
You've sworn off the stuff because of the pandemic.
Alas, alack.
The world
now
has sworn
I
off the stuff.
Hang out here. That Destructo Discourse.
Waiting to record an episode.
and occasionally sit. Join Jason on his streams.
Just sitting outside the Destructo Discourse office.
Just waiting.
Jason.
Yeah?
Tell us about those streams.
Yo, I stream on twitch.tv/jaycalves, JAYCALVES. And by the way, that username will take you to anywhere I can be found on the socials. So. Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. I don't update those as often, but I'm pretty frequently on Twitch. You can usually find me streaming on Wednesday evenings, but I pepper in little bonus things here and there, so stay tuned.
Speaking of socials that don't update often, you can follow Destructo Discourse on Twitter at Destructo_disc, D-I-S-C. But it's important because pinned there is an invitation to join our fan Discord, where we are more active.
We're more
still
active,
to this
promise.
Day. You can also send in emails to destructodiscourse@gmail.com. And if you would be so kind, please leave a rating and a review for the show on your podcast service of choice. And, as always, make it a 4-star rating.
For
Grandpa Gohan.
For the Grandpa Gohan.
Who taught Goku all his manners.
Give us the Grandpa.
Give us the Papaw.
Give us back our grandpa.
This has been Destructo Discourse. Via con Dios, monkey boy. The road ahead you seem so cold and gray. When night never turns to day, don't you be afraid, go fly away. Cha-la, cha-la, no time. Here's a